God, this is Prayer Rabbit, and I gotta tell you, I find a great laughing place listening to the Magic Our Way podcast with Kevin, Danny, Eli, and Rachel. Zippity-doo-dah!
Jumbo, everyone!
Harambe!
And welcome to another edition of...
The Magic Our Way.
Magic Our Way.
Magic Our Way.
Magic Our Way.
The Magic Our Way podcast.
They are truly magical and whatnot.
Asante sana, everyone. You are listening to the Magic Our Way podcast from New Orleans, Louisiana. And on this show, we invite you to feel the libations.
Feel it, feel it.
We are artistic buffs and not artistic cream puffs. This is the show in which every opinion is welcome. MagicOurWay.com is where you can find us. For this show, we check out the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic World in Universal Epic Universe. And look, this isn't your typical polished practice pixie dust and dizzy podcast. We are not in the parks every day letting you know that the welcome banner was missing from Magic Kingdom Storybook Circus entrance.
That's right, Kev. We're just here to drink, talk some Universal, and manage some mischief.
That's right. You listeners have the easy part. All you got to do is listen up to hear what we think up while we drink up.
My name is Kevin.
And I'm Danny.
I'm Eli.
I'm Rachel.
And look, the easiest way to support us is to leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and or wherever you access our show. Also, be sure to like and subscribe as well as turn on those notifications so you never miss an episode of the Magic Our Way podcast. So enough of our jibber jabber. Let's apparate into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Ministry of Magic. Here we are in the hub, the main topic segment of our show, and we are continuing our series of shows exploring Universal Epic Universe, the new third gate opening in 2025 at Universal Orlando Resort. And yes, once again, I know we are a Disney fan podcast, but competition is good for business.
Yes.
And we all agree that Universal is the closest thing Disney has at this time.
Got to hold Disney accountable.
Yes, indeed. So look, make sure you check out our past episodes in this series where we cover the other worlds of Universal Epic Universe. They're definitely chock full of information and maybe wet your whistle about what to expect. And once again, we thank you, Muicans, that don't keep track of the Universal stuff, but are curious. We thank you for allowing us to do the research for you and trusting us to give you an accurate information about this particular property. But before we delve into it, here's a quick overview. If you haven't listened to our other shows, Universal Epic Universe has five areas or worlds, as they call it. And these worlds are named Celestial Park, How to Train Your Dragon, the Isle of Berk, Dark Universe, Super Nintendo World, and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic. Sorry, the world we are checking out on this episode. And once again, I am happy to turn it over to my co-host, Danny, to take us through this land. So what do we have, Danny, on this third installment of The Wizarding World?
Yes, Kevin. Well, I will reiterate what I said last time we did this. When you steal from one source, it's plagiarism. When you steal from multiple, it is just research.
Hear, hear.
And I've done a lot of research here, so I can't even begin to credit all the different people who have helped me to understand better what we might be seeing here at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Ministry of Magic. Kind of like what you just did with Super Nintendo World. There's a lot of real world stuff that you had to pull from that, because lands have already been built in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. With this is all mainly rumor and conjecture. All right. And a lot of this has been pieced together by patents, by individuals who are a lot smarter and brighter and with way more time on their hands than what I have. So I want to credit these people, even though I don't know you by name, because there was too many of y'all to keep track of.
They can feel free to take credit as they
hear
their stuff.
Take all the credit. Like, you know, get into our menu. Like, I said that.
I'm the reason we got this.
Right. No problem with that whatsoever.
And we'll say you're welcome.
Thank you. But he's got a bibliography, so he knows who you are. So.
Yeah, well, somewhere, but it got too voluminous. We'd be here all day with just credits.
We can't read it out, right. But yeah.
It'd be like an Avatar movie. There'd be 20 minutes of credits. That's it.
No effect.
All right. So, as with all lands in Epic Universe, we have to start with the portal. And of all the portals in Epic Universe, the one for Harry Potter is easily the most elegant, I would say. Atop the portal is a tall Parisian column, which leads to a golden sculpture of a hand. and it's raising a wand upwards towards the sky. And upon closer inspection, that wand is in fact the legendary Elder Wand. Ooh. The all-powerful magical wand which plays a huge role in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Inscribed over the portal as you enter in are the words, "For in dreams we enter a world that is entirely our own." Hmm. Now, fans of Harry Potter will probably remember that quote as have, wait, you know what? Rachel's a fan of Harry Potter. Rachel, which movie is that from?
Oh, which movie?
Or book.
Is it the first one? It's when they're at the Mirror of Erised, right?
No, no.
No, no, no. It's when he's pulling the memories out. I can't. It's Dumbledore. Dumbledore.
It's definitely Dumbledore. She's got that right. Oh, that's yes. Absolutely right.
Yes.
It is in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, boy.
When they were all sleeping in the great hallway and they're walking around, they caught up to Harry and Professor Dumbledore was like, yeah, let him sleep. For in dreams, we enter a world of reality that isn't our own and we can fly to the sky. But there's a lot more to it. But anyway,
those
are the words that are inscribed upon that portal.
Very nice.
So that's now,
very cool.
Yes. Once we enter through the portal, we find ourselves not in England, as you might expect, but rather in Paris, France. So guests entering the land will be passing under the Porte Saint-Denis arch from Paris. Huh. And I hope I pronounced that right. I mean, we are somewhat Cajun over here. We do have a French influence, so I hope I said that.
We're closer than most.
Yes, we are closer than most. Now, the land itself is named Ministry of Magic. Why? Because the primary attraction of this land will feature a ride inspired by the Ministry of Magic, which is well known throughout the Harry Potter universe. Hmm. Beyond Porte Saint-Denis is a series of streets, and these main streets will be themed as Place Cachet, which is a district of Paris that was seen in the 2018 film Fantastic Beasts: The Crimes of Grindelwald.
Hmm.
Full disclosure, I haven't seen this movie yet. I still have yet to finish the first Fantastic Beasts movie, but Rachel has. So Rachel will be able to come in and tell me when I'm saying something that is incorrect or maybe even add some color commentary to my play-by-play.
She represents all Harry Potter fans.
Everybody. Yes, absolutely.
No pressure. Although I didn't answer the first question right, so I'm feeling a little nervous.
Well, you got Dumbledore, and that's all. There's a lot of material. You got Dumbledore. That's all I care about.
You're going to be all right.
You're good.
Yeah. He caught you off guard. It happens.
Yeah.
You ready now?
So Place Cachet is described as a Parisian district located, quote, "a shift away from the non-wizard world where everything from the storefronts and their window displays to their wondrous products and customers conveys a sense of the magical."
Hmm.
Yes.
Hmm.
So, think of it as a Parisian version of Diagon Alley.
Okay.
Stores amongst the streets will include the following. And this is going to be a full butchering of the French language. I just want to let y'all know right now.
A lot of French.
I'm going to do the best I can, but for all of our listeners in France, I apologize. I've been to France.
New Orleans.
And I love your wonderful country.
And I've seen your underpants.
And I, yes, well, I've only seen my wife's underpants in France. Let's not get Danny divorced.
That's close enough.
All right.
Oh, no.
Except when we went to the Moulin Rouge. Then I saw... Look.
Well, that comes with admission. Yeah, so yes. You have no choice.
Cosme Acajor Baguettes Magique.
Ooh, magical baguettes?
Yes.
Yeah, I like magical bread.
Yeah,
magical
I do.
Bread
is great.
This store is expected to be the land's wand shop, named after the Place Cachet wand store in Fantastic Beasts. So it'll be similar to Ollivander's, but... it'll have its own line of magical wands, each packaged within these unique triangular boxes that'll hold these wands. So it'll have its own wand store. There's another place called Patisserie Matogat.
What's Matogat?
Matogat, it will be a small bakery at the back of the land named after the large black cat-like beast that guard the French Ministry of Magic.
Oh, which are called Matogat.
Well, there you go. There's some learning you just got.
There you go. Matogat?
Matogat.
What you just got?
Oh, you just got it.
I just got it.
You got served.
That just got happened.
Then there is Les Galeries Mirafiques, which is roughly translated to the wonderful galleries, which will be a department store retail area in the middle of the land. Then there's a place that is going to be called Bar Moonshine.
Okay, I don't know much French.
That's the only one
but
I know
what moonshine is. Yes.
Yes.
You did not put you that. I got that
one. Okay.
We like the bond.
Yeah,
you know, moonshine.
There was, like,
I should have put a French accent on it and threw y'all. Bar moonshine.
Yes.
Yes.
I green got that one.
It is going to be a small bar located on the far right side of the land.
Oh,
now okay.
Bar Moonshine Petite.
Yes, the moniker is possibly a reference to a character named Regulus Moonshine, who is a character in the Harry Potter lore who developed a potion that suppressed a hag's appetite for human flesh.
Whoa.
That's different.
Something Eli could use. Yes.
I thought it was going to suppress like hangovers or something simple like that.
No. Human flesh. Hags have an appetite for human flesh, Kevin. Haven't you known?
Yeah. And human wallets.
Yes.
I'm skirt.
Don't be skirt.
With a T.
Mm-hmm.
Moonshine it.
Mm.
That's what Regulus did.
Yes.
I like that.
Now, that's just a rumor, though. Like, no one knows for sure. It's called Bar Moonshine. There is a character named Regulus. It could easily be a reference to Remus Lupin, who turned into a werewolf in the moonlight. So that could be a possibility. But that's what we're going with here, and that's what people seem to think this is a reference to. Then there is a store called Mademoiselle's Malkins.
What's up, Malkin?
Mademoiselle Malkins.
This will be a robes and clothing shop. Why?
That's in the franchise.
Rachel knows. Yes. In the Harry Potter series, Madame Malkin was the owner of Madame Malkin's Robes for All Occasions, located in Diagon Alley. So this is a French version.
I think that's where they got their dress robes for the Yule Ball.
Oh, are they selling dress robes?
Oh, they should.
Popular store.
You know, I wondered about this because I haven't seen anything written here, but I wondered about what was the name of the French school, and it was in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Beauxbatons.
Yeah.
That's it.
Fleur
Delacour, I believe, came from Beauxbatons. I'm wondering if there's a lot of Beauxbatons merch.
See a lot of that stuff, do you?
No, but since this is the French version of...
You don't see that in the... It's not really in the Fantastic Beasts movie either.
Oh, really?
But the school must have existed at that time too, though.
Of course, like if you were,
it makes sense.
Like if you were a French student and you were going shopping, you would go shopping in Place Cachet, which would have been their version of Diagon Alley. So it seems logical that would be a lot of Beauxbatons merchandise.
Beauxbatons is not a young school for sure.
Yeah. So I mean, like,
it just doesn't have a big role in the film,
right? Right.
Well, that seems like an error, hopefully, that they correct with the
world?
Yeah.
The world, yes.
Yeah.
Then lastly, there's going to be a place called K. Rommel. Now, I couldn't find a reference to this, but that's going to be the Land's Candy Store.
Rommel.
Rammelle.
That's referenced in the movies, too.
Oh, so you remember that?
Yeah. Flamel. Never mind.
Yeah.
Maybe that's his little cousin on his daddy's side, Big King.
Oh, you know what? Screw it. I just realized it.
Oh, okay.
I'm an idiot.
What is it?
Caramel.
Dude. C'est magnifique.
That belongs on a Haunted Mansion tombstone.
Yeah.
Caramel. I think my origin story was just as well. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a sweet shop?
Yes, it's the Land's Candy Store. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, damn.
Take it to the candy shop.
What?
Let you lick the lollipop. What? All right, go ahead. Girl, don't you stop.
What?
So look, okay. So as we've alluded to, Fantastic Beasts takes place in the same universe as the Harry Potter films, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the time period for Fantastic Beasts is that of the 1920s, which is decades before Harry was born.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of creates a little bit of a time
paradox
problem. What's up with that, Danny? Help me with it, because that's my concern. I don't understand.
That is absolutely a valid concern. And so basically we're going to meet Harry. Well, you know what? I'm jumping ahead a little bit. You know, maybe I picked that wound a little bit too early. Let's stay here for a little bit.
Put a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, we'll put a Band-Aid in for now. We'll jump into that later.
Well, if anything, it's safe to say that when we enter that portal, we're transported back to 1920s. That's fair to say, right?
Right. You're in 1920s, but then you're going to enter a flu network, which is going to take you into current day or modern day. Well, not really modern day, because modern day would be more post Voldemort. Right. You're going to enter
this is more like
yes,
of Voldemort. 20,
early 2000s.
Yes,
AV. in the year of Voldemort.
Hey. But in the words of Quentin Tarantino, I'm not a frog and you're not a bunny, so let's not hop ahead.
Hey!
All right. So to go along with the Fantastic Beasts motifs, there are also rumors that magical creatures will be located all throughout the land, including large creatures sticking out of windows above the pass, some of which guests may interact with and use their interactive wands with. And speaking of which, the other two Harry Potter lands, as we know, they use interactive wands, and the new Wizarding World of Harry Potter Ministry of Magic will also use interactive wands. However, this will be a new generation of magical wands with an upgrade.
What?
Nothing's been released yet, but some have suggested that this means we might, for the very first time, see the magic emanating from the magical wands using effects within the interactive experiences themselves. So make of that what you will.
Kind of like shooting webs.
Yes.
Literally just on the last episode said that I wasn't going to need to buy new wands so I could pony up the $40 each for my family to get the bump bands at Super Mario World.
Uh-huh.
But there's no way if the magic comes out of the wand that my children are not making me get them new wands. I'm going to have to do that too.
Time to upgrade.
I love that. Yeah. Rachel just channeled The Rock for a second there. There's no way. And Rachel means no way. I'm not getting those new interactive wands. I love it. All right. So let's get to what Rachel's concern was.
Okay.
Although the land itself is based in France, and the appearance of the land will resemble the 1920s time period from the film, the attraction, currently entitled The Battle for the Ministry of Magic, will transport guests back in time to modern-day England and the British Ministry of Magic.
Hmm.
So I kind of misspoke because I said it was happening in present day, and I said, well, that it would take place before Voldemort. No, this is modern day. This is after...
After Voldemort. Okay.
AV. Yeah. I like definitely that. AV, yeah. That's very well AV. Put.
BV and AV.
So this is slated to be the largest indoor attraction to Epic Universe, bar none.
Huh.
All right.
Okay.
Guests are going to enter through a flu network of fireplaces, which wizards often use to travel from place to place.
Hmm.
All right. If you have any questions on that now, direct them towards Rachel.
Yeah, I got you covered there.
I wanted to flush myself into a toilet.
In the movie. I was disappointed we're not doing the toilet flush.
Yeah, I'm disappointed too. Yeah.
You should.
That's because Kevin's toilet's next to his
right
bed,
there.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I mean, I'm probably spending some time on there, so I might as well just, you know, as when I'm done, flush ministry.
Yeah. Kill two birds at once.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah. I like it. As guests exit the flu fireplace, they're going to step right into the Ministry of Magic, which was very prominently featured in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, guests will pass by the Ministry's original lobby statue that was entitled The Fountain of Magical Brethren. It featured large golden statues of a wizard, a witch, a centaur, a goblin, a house elf, and it was all supposed to represent how all these different creatures lived in harmony within the wizarding world. However, when Voldemort took over the Ministry of Magic later on in the film series, in the books as well, this fountain was replaced by the Magic is Might monument, which featured statues of a dark wizard and witch sitting atop an enormous throne made of powerless muggles.
Wow!
So no confirmation on which statue would be featured, but we got to think in the post-Voldemort world, the original statue would come back, shouldn't we?
You'd hope so.
Yes, I would hope so. But so, but it's a brilliant, magnificent looking.
It's large.
It's
huge.
It's definitely going to be a huge part of the queue. From there, guests will go through a queue past different ministry departments, and you'll see offices in various scenes going on until we reach the load station. That's where guests are going to board elevators within a round rotunda of lifts that you see kind of featured in the films when guests board these elevators there to travel in and around the Ministry of Magic. Now, It's rumored that this ride will be utilizing a modified version of the Scoop Ride vehicles. Who knows what the Scoop Ride vehicles are?
That's Spider-Man, isn't it?
There you go.
Me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Rachel. Rachel knows.
Yes. First used on The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man. The Scoop Ride vehicles were those vehicles that kind of you can move in any different direction that you want to do. You can see everything. It feels like you're dropping all that. But in addition to being able to move through scenes with the vehicle's built-in motion base, it's rumored that this new version of the ride will also have the ability to move guests up and down as well. So since this ride is designed to appear as though we are traveling within a magical lift, it's rumored that, kind of similar to the glass elevator in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, we'll be able to travel in any direction, up, down, side to side, as needed.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I heard this, yeah.
Now, the ride is not expected to utilize any 3D glasses, and it's instead expected to have multiple animatronics.
Wow.
Yes.
Good for them.
Yes. Similar to what we were talking about before when we were talking about Monsters Unchained. The plot of the attraction is rumored to be that guests are attending the sentencing of Dolores Umbridge, the former headmistress of Hogwarts, who is known for her cruelty and abusive punishment, shall we say, towards the students of Hogwarts.
And she likes cats.
She does. She does like cats.
And she does like cats.
Teacups as well.
And teacups, yeah.
And
And pink.
Yes. Yeah, pink. Oh, she loves her pink. That is true. Also, I think most people will remember her from Order of the Phoenix, but the later series, especially when Voldemort kind of really took over again, she was also in charge of the Muggle-born Registration Commission, where she prosecuted innocent Muggle-born magical beings. Yeah. Yes.
And she was the headmaster for a little while.
A hot minute. Yes, that's right. She took over for Dumbledore when he
left. She got him out. Yes.
Imelda Staunton, the actress who portrayed Umbridge, is signed on to return on this ride. So she will be in there. After boarding, guests will be taken to the courtroom, at which point things will start to go wrong.
Of course.
Yes. Death Eaters will arrive on the scene to free Umbridge. And allegedly, this is going to be where Harry, Ron, and Hermione show up to stop their evil plans. I have not heard that any of the original actors for these three roles have signed on to do this. So it's not confirmed that that's what happened. It's kind of similar to what they did with Gringotts, right? Mm-hmm. You have, one of the Weasley brothers is...
it's Bill. The one who's on the Gringotts ride. He works, right. Bill Weasley, works at Gringotts.
That's it, exactly. So yes, they ended up changing that ride around because they couldn't get Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, and Hermione Granger into it. So they're trying to do it for this one.
It would be, wouldn't it be weird, though, because they'll be so much older?
Yes, it will be.
Those actors are my age, so they're late 30s now.
Yes, but, you know, like, this is happening, like, who knows how long, you know, with sentencing and everything like that. It could take several years before they get around to doing this. So
CGI, I mean, it'll be on the screen, it'll be really far back from you, or having the ride will be done, or, you know. So, yeah, they could tweak that.
Or they can just go ahead and say, you know what, it wasn't them this time. It was...
their future descendants.
Some, like, B character that worked over the ministry. Yeah.
Or an original Dumbledore character for it. You never know how they'll change it.
Yeah, I'll take Neville.
Yeah.
Take Neville.
Oh, Neville would be great.
Neville would be cool.
Yeah. Well, that guy's in his late 30s, too.
This is true.
These are tough times.
Well, they got technology to make him young.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, they could, or I don't know if they can, take footage of them from when they filmed it and, like, repurpose that footage.
Oh, yeah. A little AI and voiceover, yeah.
It'd be bad if they want to pay for that.
I was a Luna Lovegood fan, so hopefully she shows
up. She was good, too, yeah. Yeah, I was a fan.
Anyways, long story short, it seems breaking Umbridge out of the Ministry of Magic isn't even enough, though. She's trying to get into the storage area for a powerful magical artifact that is rumored to be Hermione's time turner from the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh.
Yes. The thought is that Umbridge wants to go back in time to when Voldemort was all powerful and bring him back into the present to take over the Wizarding World. Again, I just cannot emphasize this enough. Take this with a huge grain of salt. This is what the plans were for the attraction before then. If they can't get the right actors and actresses this could all change. But this is the general gist of the ride. It's going to be the Death Eaters free Umbridge, and now it's a race to go ahead and stop her from wreaking havoc. Guests will ride along and enter various rooms within the ministry, passing through the chaotic, what do you call it, magical battlefield, if you will.
The wizard duel.
Yes, there you go. As both, you're going to see real world projections, animatronic effects. Some of the creatures you're rumored to have encountered in this ride will include a fire-breathing chicken.
Yes!
This is a real thing. This is a very real thing.
It's like spicy chicken.
Yes.
It's like that chicken you don't order at Taco Bell.
Served at Popeye's, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And Newt's commander's Arumpent.
Oh.
Who knows what an Arumpent is?
I do. It's that like really big, it almost looks like a rhino kind of.
Yes, that's it.
Huge.
It's a massive magical creature similar to that of a rhinoceros with a giant horn coming out of its head. And supposedly, while trying to get away at some point, Umbridge apparently frees the Arumpent, which then charges you as you proceed to make your escape backwards. So it's supposed to be a similar effect to what they use with the Indominus Rex in the Jurassic World attraction in Beijing, where it's coming right at you. It's charging you as you're quickly backing up. Ooh. And it's supposed to be a really, really, really cool effect. You can see it, just Google search the Jurassic World attraction in Beijing and you'll see it. It's really cool. But it all comes to a head when Dolores finally does get her hands on a time turner, but then realizes that it has been tinkered with in some kind of a way, and it all falls to pieces, and apparently her characteristic pink outfit will be transformed into black and white prison stripes.
Oh.
As she's apprehended once again and taken back into the courtroom for sentencing by, I think his name is Kingsley Shacklebolt. Am I right on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. Yep. And that should be the final scene for the ride. Now, again,
I like him. I like Shacklebolt.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah.
Now, all this, again, subject to change, but that's the rumored plot line of this attraction. There's also rumors that a female house elf animatronic, possibly like an assistant for Umbridge, will also appear in the attraction at some point, whether it be in the queue or the actual attraction itself. Oh. No one really knows. But, I mean, the thing about that is that female house elves have appeared in the Harry Potter books, but never once on screen yet. So that would be the first. True. Yeah, that would be that's the first cool. use of them.
I wonder if I can give it clothes.
Just start tossing your stuff.
Yeah, here's my sock. Get out of here.
Bring an extra sock.
Yeah,
Eli would give it a thong.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Thong and a bottle of orange juice. Going out of here.
I just still don't like. I don't know how they're going to handle the time travel part.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like the flu network, I get. Like traveling place to place with the flu network, like that's easy. That's in the book. That's fine. Time travel is not really in the books.
Yeah.
Except for
Azkaban. Hermione's thing, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why they're talking about it being Hermione.
But she can't travel. I mean, I guess I don't know the limitations on the time turner, but like she only travels back hours, right. maybe days, but it's not like decades. You know, I just, and this would be traveling forward in time,
and maybe you know,
traveling what? Forward decades. I don't know, I'm just a little apprehensive.
Maybe they don't get Emma Watson and they just abandon the time turner thing and it's just an escape from the Ministry of Magic during sentencing, in which we're able to stop her at some point in time. So I mean, this is still very fluid. I mean, this rumor was posted last year.
Okay.
Where they really went through this line and it was a lot more detailed. I've kind of dumbed it down a little bit because it was so specific and they've already changed a lot about this attraction.
Well, and so I wonder, like I had originally heard, you know, maybe 3 years ago when like first rumors were coming out about Epic Universe, that this land was going to be a land based on Fantastic Beasts. And then the franchise didn't do well.
Yeah.
And so then I had heard like, oh, because the franchise didn't do very well, they're now shifting gears into Ministry of Magic and they're going back to the original franchise, which makes sense to me. This like the rumors that we're getting is like a weird combo of both. It's like we're still doing the land as Fantastic Beasts, but then the ride is Ministry of Magic.
Yes.
I just don't know how those things are going to pair. You know, like, I don't know, especially since they're in different times. Like, I could also buy in if they were saying, like, okay, you're going to Paris, like we did in Fantastic Beasts, but it's modern time. It's Voldemort.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, if it was, and you could see remnants of the stuff that happened in Fantastic Beasts all over the place. Yeah,
well, but it's modern. But this is not. They're saying it's not going to be that. No, I don't know.
But it also adds to kind of the credibility of the rumors in the sense that you're already time traveling to get to where you're going. I mean, you can transport yourself through the Flu Network, but I've never heard of the Flu Network being involved in anything related to time travel. Right. Like, well, how are you going from 1920s to present day Wizarding World?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me as well. So it does speak that there might be a time traveling element to this attraction. But again,
or maybe there's just a piece that Universal is keeping in their back pocket. Like, there's a piece of the story that we don't know and it hasn't been leaked, and they'll have some kind of answer.
Agreed. Yeah. I bet you they have an A story, a B story, a C story, that kind of thing. And they're going to go with, it depends on what actors they get signed up for it. I'm sure they have the experiences that you're going to have on this attraction all lined up. But what they're able to do is going to depend on whether or not they can get in who they need to get in.
Well, you know, Disney has always taught me this lesson. It is never to stick to the canon that you do before. Mm-hmm. These people take stuff over. It was a hard lesson to learn, and I hate to give y'all that bitter pill, but that sounds like what you're going to have to start taking on this one. Because if it's not making sense from your source material, you just have to trust that they're going to put in whatever additive that they want, and you just have to be like, well, at least it's a ride, or at least it's this or that. But it's rumor, so
even the ride system for this ride has changed.
Yeah.
There was an original patent that they showed where you would only go up and down and see like two things. And they've like an elevator, already altered that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've altered that as well. So even that is changing. So,
and that's an interesting variable, because like what you see is definitely going to be Paris.
Yes.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Since the Ministry of Magic attractions in the covered show building, we have no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they are just releasing these little false things, are, and it's something completely different. I have no idea.
But it seems 99.9% sure Umbridge will be in there, and it will take place in the Harry Potter universe and not Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Now, there will be an attraction with but we'll get to that. So, the exit gift shop for this attraction is rumored to be named Tour and Flu.
Tour and Flu.
T-O-U-R. E-N-F-L-O-O.
Tour and Flu.
And it's rumored, of course, to be themed as a travel agency based around the Flu Network.
Oh.
Yeah.
Love it.
Probably not an earmarked travel agent.
Probably not.
A flu marked.
At Universal, we're called Universal Preferred.
Yes. Well, yes. Definitely Universal Preferred.
Universal Preferred.
Yes.
Travel agency.
Now, at the end of the land's main street will be an attraction that is set within Paris itself. So now we are going to participate in the time in the land that we are in, because this will actually be set within the world of Fantastic Beasts. Guests will enter this indoor attraction by passing through the Circus Arcanus circus tent, which was seen in the second Fantastic Beasts film.
Hmm.
After entering the small circus tent, guests inside will find that the area is much, 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 much larger.
Mm.
Permits say that this structure will be a 5-story theater with a stage and at least 642 seats connected to the land's main attraction. So this is going to be to the side of the Ministry of Magic.
Okay.
We don't know yet what type of show may happen inside of the theater, but many have speculated that will be a live stage show based on the magical Parisian circus featured in Crimes of Grindelwald.
Hmm.
And Rachel, I mean, I don't know if like you have any insight. I have not seen Crimes of Grindelwald. I don't know if you have any insight as to what the magical Parisian circus did, but that's what they're talking about here.
Yeah, I don't remember a ton about it other than it was like a typical circus, you know? So think like the Greatest Showman kind of circus. You have like people who are a little bit different and can do like fantastic things. And then you have animals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like that, but then with a wizarding spin, right? So that they could use magic, cast spells. The animals were fantasy style animals, and just like a lot of things in Harry Potter, right? Like the tent that looks small on the outside, but then you go in and it's like as big as a house. Exactly. Like it was that kind of
effect.
I love that.
So yeah, so I think it'll be kind of like that. But it was like your classic circus vibes.
Mm, okay. Oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. There was also supposed to be a Harry Potter VR broomstick attraction that was also supposed to be a part of this land as well. But it has since been canceled.
Oh.
If it had been built, this would have been the highest capacity VR attraction in the world, though.
Dang.
There would have been 144 broomstick pods in use at once, and groups of 24 guests at a time would experience a pre-show within a briefing room and then be split into four groups of six. And then those groups of six riders would climb atop their broomsticks, put on the VR headset, and fly through Paris with Newt Scamander and his friends attempting to stop an Obscurus from destroying the city. Now, I'm not sure what an Obscurus is.
Yeah, it was in the first one, I think. I can't remember which movie it was, but it's like a wizard who is not trained to use their powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so their powers end up overwhelming them.
Okay.
And they become, like in the movie, they become like this kind of black storm.
Like an ether. Their
human form. Yeah. And it's like super destructive.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that'd be pretty badass, actually.
I was like, what's wrong with that?
What's wrong is that VR normally sucks.
Once you wear the headset, but is that so that's their answer to Flight of Passage then? That's
no, Flight of Passage is not VR. It's more it is, motion simulator.
But you don't have to wear the goggles and all that stuff.
Well, anyway, the good news is that while the VR attraction may have been removed from the Epic Universe plans, the remaining area is being saved as future expansion space for the Wizarding World.
Okay.
So when they are ready to construct something here, they'll have more than enough room to add an attraction just as large as the Ministry ride itself. So they've got a large expansion space over there. I'm kind of curious to see whether or not they could connect the Hogwarts Express going back and forth between Universal and Islands of Adventure with Ministry of Magic. Yeah, I'm with you. I highly, highly, highly doubt it.
Oh, you know
That would be so cool, wouldn't it?
You know what a good idea would be to take the box truck idea from Galactic Star Cruiser.
Uh-huh.
And people could still board a train, but they're actually board a box truck, and they could feel like they're in a train, but they're actually a truck going down to Ministry of Magic.
Uh-huh.
You know, this could be like 18-wheeler trucks or whatever, 105-foot trucks, trailers acting as a train going down the highway.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be so cool if you could. Location-wise, I doubt it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be so cool.
Like 2 miles.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's far, yeah.
Now, permits also call for two different dining locations within the land, one on either side of the main street. One will have 227 seats according to the permits filed, and the other is permitted as having 281 total seats. However, they're speculating that about 64 of those may be for a connected team member grill located backstage.
Oh.
Now, these two locations are expected to both be quick service dining locations. The first is expected to be named Café L'Air de la Sirène. And this name in English translates to Air of the Siren Cafe.
Hmm.
Now, sirens or female mer people are referenced in Fantastic Beasts, and they also appear in the Harry Potter films.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in Goblet of Fire, don't they?
Yeah, Triwizard Tournament. Yep. Yeah, it's one of the challenges.
Yes. And the second quick service location is expected to be named, oh wow, we just kind of covered this, Les Gobelets Noirs.
Oh.
Which the name roughly translates to the Black Cup or Black Goblet.
Right. Oh.
And again, could also have something to do with the Goblet of Fire. But those are the two restaurants that are rumored to be located there.
Well, the only siren song I usually hear going to these parks is the rumble in my stomach if I need to eat.
It's that a cool is name. One thing about Harry Potter is that the food options are not exactly great. But let's see what they do here, because I am kind of curious. Like, I'm sorry, I've tried to eat in both Harry Potter lands before, and none of the food ever appealed to me.
No, and the place doesn't look comfortable to sit at to enjoy the meal. But Drinks are good.
It's usually pretty packed, those worlds, yeah.
This is Paris, and Paris is known for the best food, right?
I want a baguette.
Yes. So hopefully we'll get some really good Parisian delicacies here.
We should. Yeah. I hope so. I can't wait till this opens and we can review the menu to see if it sounds any good.
Wides across.
I'm hoping like the Black Goblet will have like liquor.
That's got
beer or something, or some kind of mead or whatever.
Something. That sounds like sounds a club. Like it, right? Yeah.
I mean, thus far, the only confirmed tavern we have is the Moonshine one, and that's it. That's the only thing I see on here. So, yeah, hopefully they will sell
libations,
butter beer, and whatnot over there. And I'm sure they're going to have to sell butter beer, but we still have yet to have that alcoholic, kind of like what you have over at Hollywood Studios with the milk. You have the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they can mix that in.
Alcoholic Star Wars milk, yeah.
What was the thing that they suggested you ordered outside to put in your butter beer?
Oh, man. Okay, it was a shot of... Oh, I'd have to go back and listen to the show. We recorded it. Okay. Dang it.
But I was standing right there by you.
You were.
But you... I think it was like you... No, because it was...
Was it bourbon? Was it fire whiskey? No, it wasn't fire.
It wasn't fireball. It wasn't that like that.
No, I'm thinking of the fire whiskey. Or what do they call it?
Fire whiskey is fireball whiskey and cider.
Right.
And it's good, but that's not what they wouldn't have suggested.
No, because it was something that we would have drank straight. So
we would have totally done this.
Yeah.
But we didn't. Because the line was too long when she suggested it. It was like, ooh, and no. But anyway, point being is that I would love to see something like this.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yes. No, agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
But that's it. That's all we've got about Harry Potter thus far. I'm sorry. I wish I could give you a little bit more. Hopefully, this is enough to chew on, but this is really all that's been speculated upon. Because people are just pouring through patents, trying to piece together stuff. And God bless them, because they are on top of things for the most part. And this is a good collection of information to kind of start to chew on a little bit.
Yeah, the unknown is the attraction for sure, but we know we're getting, based on the facades that are being built, the Paris in 1920s.
Right.
So a lot of the shops and the stuff that you mentioned are definitely viable. Mm-hmm. We just don't know what's happening. And it's supposed to be the biggest ride right out of all the world you mentioned. Yes. So, man, we have no idea what's in that building because it's all indoors.
No.
We know it's a big building, so we can tell, but I have no idea. No idea.
Once again, we're talking about a unique ride system, though. And that's something that I really love about what they're doing here. And the blending of projections and animatronic effects.
Yeah.
It's a little disappointing that we got that and maybe a theater show. I would have liked to have seen maybe a real secondary attraction for this land, but they tried with the VR thing. It just didn't work out.
It just seems small and tight.
Yeah.
They confine themselves somehow for some reason. But I don't know.
We'll see. They have expansion
Which
packs.
Is strange, because Nintendo sounds so big.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they're definitely like banking on that versus the Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're doing the Harry Potter just to sell a 3-park ticket?
Yeah, I do. Well, or I think that they've been so successful with those lands, they're probably intimidated to open a new park without one.
I can agree with that.
That's smart. It's a proven commodity
at
this point.
To Rachel's earlier point, the Fantastic Beasts have not exactly been the whirlwind that they were hoping for. Yeah, so it's like, we want to do this because this is a unique location and something people are going to enjoy seeing, but therein lies the problem is that guests are not necessarily familiar with these films.
That's exactly
And if you're right. not seeing Harry and you're not seeing Ron and you're seeing Newt Scarmander, and then, I mean, shoot, even the villain has been changed over because it used to be Johnny Depp, and then...
Yeah, they changed.
It changed the third one, yeah.
Yes, he had
An issue.
An issue.
Slight issue.
And so there was another guy. So it didn't translate so well. So it's kind of curious that they're going with the Fantastic Beasts, even though the franchise hasn't necessarily been successful, and they've changed it out a bit.
Yeah, wasn't the villain in the Fantastic Beasts the villain from the Doctor Strange movie, right? Am I thinking of
Exactly. You're right. Yeah. And not only that, I mean, I think it was going so weak that they ended up having to put Dumbledore in there just to try and... Pump kind up that pump franchise up. A little bit. Yeah, because it's like, okay, no one's buying in a Newt.
Yeah.
Come on back, Dumbledore. We need some star power.
To be fair, like when that movie came out, the Fantastic Beasts, I thought they were talking about my date list in my 30s, and I didn't really know what that was about. But I remember seeing the commercials being like, "What is this? There's nothing that grabs me about
other than your exes."
Yeah, yeah. They always was grabbing for the money, you know, never the heart.
Always the money. Yeah, I can't explain why. I haven't seen Secrets of Dumbledore, mm-hmm. which is okay. the third one.
Yeah,
right.
I saw the other two, and I enjoyed them both. So I can't really explain why I haven't seen Secrets of Dumbledore, other than just like, I think you get to a point sometimes with a series where you're like, I just don't really have any more questions.
Yes,
like that's just true.
That's a great way to put it.
Kind of where I'm at. It's like I just don't have any more questions. It's not that I don't want to see it. It's just there's always something else I'd rather watch.
Right. No, that is a wonderful way to put it, mm-hmm. because, yes, I could totally see that. It's like I was invested in the journey of Harry Potter and Hermione Granger and Ron Weasley, mm-hmm. and the charm of those three kids, you know, overcoming and interacting with this new world themselves. There was something to say to that. And I don't know that we got it. And this might be why so much of this land is in flux, why you have whole attractions that are being canceled, why the plot of the original of the mainstay attraction is in flux.
Yeah.
So yeah. This could have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, it sounded like from what you were describing that it was trying to mesh the two properties, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what y'all were kind of saying. Like, I don't see, like, well, to Rachel's point, it sounded like what she was saying is like, I don't see how that works.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can't take two things and try to force them just for the sake of money. I get money makes magic, but that's yeah. not what's going to happen here.
Not this kind of magic. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to do that. I am a little nervous about it. I will say, like, from a marketing standpoint, when I have people reach out to me who, like, don't know anything about theme parks, right? So, like, these are just people, they're not theme park fans. They're just kids want to take a vacation and they've seen some commercials. I will get an email all the time that says, we want to do Disney and Harry Potter. And a lot of times people think that Harry Potter is at the Disney parks. So I have to like correct that. Like these are two very different properties. They're in very different places. It's going to feel like two trips if you do Harry Potter and then you go to Disney. But I have a lot of people, a lot, that don't even know that they want to go to Universal. They just know they want to do Harry Potter. Yeah. And so I can imagine Universal opening this new theme park thinking we have to have a Harry Potter thing in here because there's a lot of people who come to Universal who don't even know they're at Universal. They just know they're at the Wizarding World.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
But there again, like if I was them, I wouldn't sell a single Hogwarts piece of merchandise in those shops. It would all be Boba.
Right.
It would need to be.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. That would make the most sense.
Yeah,
I don't know how they're going to do that.
Same here.
It's crazy. What I much rather would have preferred is the portal was actually like a pensieve, and so you go back in time. Oh,
that's a really good way.
Yeah, and that's how you explain like the time travel. You're not really time traveling. You're just going to somebody's memory.
Okay.
You know, I think that would have worked. And then maybe not 1920s Paris, but I wouldn't even mind it if it was just to the time of wherever Harry's parents
like
live.
Dumbledore's Mary or something.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind like when Harry's parents were alive or maybe they just freshly died or something. You go into that village and you could see like the blown out house and you're in that spooky world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That or they could have done that place.
Cop, right.
Whatever it's called.
Godric's Hollow.
Godric's Hollow. Yeah, that would have been great.
Right. Well, that takes research.
Godric's Hollow.
You know, that takes research and care for the material. But that's a good point, right? You figure out a solution without being like, this works in cells, that works in cells, and put them together. And nobody knows what's going on. You know,
you know what I really would love to experience, like I'm a little sad they're not doing this, is the Quidditch World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool.
Put me in a place where I can experience the Quidditch World Cup. That would have been really cool.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. But I mean, don't you think the VR thing that they were trying to do would have been the best use of that?
They probably could afford to keep that up. Just maintenance alone on a VR system, they probably even would have.
Unless you use a suspended system that holds like brooms and you're playing Quidditch. Like Peter Pan.
Yeah.
But a more advanced. Cool. Like I mean, yeah, they could. You could basically take the Kuka robotic arm and suspend it upside down, like on a coaster platform, and boom, broomsticks.
You're flying.
As long as you're strapped in, yes, I would love that.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. Yeah,
how you get, oh, like maybe you take a little stand in the back and then it goes around you that way. Because I was like, there's no seatbelt for a broomstick.
Tron. I don't know. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed.
I am too.
I'm also open-minded. Like, I'm really excited about the Ministry of Magic piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
Just the way that they did the Ministry of Magic visually in the movies was incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved it. So I'm really excited to go to the British Ministry of Magic. I just, this Paris 1920 stuff is like, I just don't get how that connects at all.
I guess they just needed a
tall structure to hide the world?
Well, no, just like an iconic place to visit. Like, what other place would you make would have had shops and bars and eateries and stuff like that within the Harry Potter universe that would have worked? Mm. And it's, what's that old saying?
I mean, Godric's Hollow would be the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, that's about it. There's a saying that says you can't be half pregnant. This is half pregnant.
Yeah.
This is like, true. We want to do Parisian France, but you were going to do totally Harry Potter. This is half pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. Half pregnant.
It needs to be fully knocked up.
Just like make it a different part of London. Or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, London's a big place. Could we just suspend our disbelief and, like, it's the part of London where the ministry is?
I would be okay with that, I think. But I think they look at the success that they had with Diagon Alley. They look at the success they had with Hogsmeade. And they're like, we need another location with retail and eateries and all that stuff. And that's our formula.
And it has to look like the movie.
There you go.
That's what people say. They're like, it feels like I'm walking in the movie, which is totally true. It does feel like that. And so it's like, where else have we been in a movie that we could make into a place? And the Ministry of Magic is one of those places. But yeah, I don't know how you do shops and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
They got a gift shop in the ministry.
I know, for real. They must have like a
Ministry of Merchandise. That's it.
Yeah, but
just for the whole thing.
Ministry Eats.
Yeah.
But when Rachel described this as like, I had no further questions, it kind of reminded me of how I felt when I saw Star Wars. And they're like, okay, now here are the prequels and here's the extended stuff. And I'm like, I had no more questions. I was good.
Yeah.
Please don't stop. You get on the ride and you're like, not get on the ride, but you participate in the film. And you're like, okay, this is just ruining it. This is just ruining it. Yeah. And I don't think this ruins it. It does give this weird hodgepodge, not quite what it should be kind of thing.
It sounds watered down from the way I hear the three of you talking about it.
Yes. But I mean, at the same time, I imagine that this ride is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Cool. One thing, if I'm in the Ministry of Magic queue and I don't see like documents flying past me through the hallways, I'll be very upset.
Also, and to be fair, to go back to something that Rachel said a while back, I can't believe I spent so much time in Diagon Alley and there's only one ride.
I know, isn't that crazy?
So that might also be driving this. The idea of like, look,
exploration.
Just give these people a well-themed land with eateries, tavern, a wonderful attraction for them to experience, and they'll be good. And we'll punt on the next attraction to add on to it until we see what we got there.
Yeah, but the building breeds fire. I mean, that's what you talk about, the one I went with you.
The dragon. Yeah,
yeah, the dragon. Yeah. Like, I was like, what's the big deal? And I saw it shoot the fire. Like, all right, when is that happening again? Like, you do that alone. Yeah.
Well, what I like about Diagon Alley is that one little dark area place that I didn't know.
Nocturne Alley.
And when I stumbled upon it, I'm like, where the hell am I? And how do I get out? Yeah, well, it's just dark and cold. I'm like, this is comfortable, but this is kind of spooky.
Did you find the tribute to Jaws in there?
No, I didn't. I knew there was one, but I hadn't found it. I didn't discover it until I left.
Nocturne Alley took the place of my favorite movie of all time is Jaws.
It was a great attraction.
Yeah, it was a great attraction as well, and I loved riding Jaws. It was so spooky because you never knew when that shark was going to pop up. But the first time, after a while, you like
you figured it out.
Right,
it was still neat. Yeah,
look to your left. So there's a Jaws reference in Nocturne Alley, and it's very famous. It's probably the most famous scene in Jaws. Actually, you run across this shop with all these shrunken heads.
Mm.
And if you remember Jaws, there's that wonderful scene where Quint tells the story about the USS Indianapolis going down.
Oh.
And then they start comparing their scarves with one another. And then they start singing a song. Anyone remembers the song?
Mm-mm.
Show me the way to go home, boom, boom. Oh. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I've had a those shrunken heads in Nocturne Alley sing that song.
Oh, I saw those guys.
Yes, they sing that song, Show Me the Way to Go Home from Jaws, and it's a reference to the attraction that used to be there.
I didn't realize that. That is cool. That is cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, I love the Harry Potter spaces. They're so well done.
They are.
Do you guys know their HBO is redoing the original series?
I heard that.
I never heard that.
Oh, really? That. Yeah. No, they've started like promos and stuff. Like it's really happening. They have like marketing out. They're doing it as a television series.
Mm-hmm. Wait, the original Harry Potter series?
Yeah, the original
recast
books.
And everything. Yeah.
Recasting them. Why? You're talking about like I don't have any more questions. I'm like, why would you
revamp?
It was perfect the way it was.
Yes.
Like it's perfect. Don't do anything. Like stop.
Maybe it's like Spider-Man. If they don't use it, they'll lose it or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point.
I know Sony has to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You gotta use it while you got it. But revamp while you can.
JK Rowling let this happen?
She must have, because she owns it all.
She likes that money?
Yeah, like, hey. Yeah.
No, J.K. Rowling's got so much money. I can't imagine.
She probably owned the Ministry of Money.
I'm pretty sure that Adam Driver is Severus Snape.
Oh,
wait a minute. Now I'm curious.
Wait, I like that.
That dude's white.
Adam Driver.
He is pale.
Kylo Ren. That is great casting.
It's like almost, it could be his son, like Severus's son.
Gotcha.
I could see this in a sense, like Percy Jackson, the series was better than Percy Jackson, the movie. I didn't not mind the first Percy Jackson movie. I thought the first Percy Jackson was a decent enough movie. But I never read the books. I read all the Harry Potter books. I don't know.
Well, I mean, with the TV show, they could get into more detail that the books address that they didn't address in the movies.
You know, you're right. This might be interesting.
That's the plan, yeah, is they're going to do more detail.
Oh, this might be interesting.
And that could be interesting.
Yeah. And then you have a chance to revamp it later because the original cast is way too old.
Well, we get to see all of Ginny's lovers. For sure. They mentioned in the books, apparently she has a bunch of guys that... You know, after or something.
What do you mean Jenny had a lot of lovers? What are you talking about?
Well, apparently the books, there's a lot of suitors and stuff. Ooh, you know, there's a joke and they made some reference in the movie.
Yeah, she had boyfriends.
Weasley. Ron says something about that. Yeah, who's the person this week or something like that. He makes
who's
some kind of dig
person
at it.
This week?
Yeah.
Huh?
Some kind of dig at
ouch. Oh, Jenny from the block.
Jenny from the block.
Yeah. But she was more tame in the movies.
Got a lot of bit and put it out of
yeah.
Yeah. I hear you.
Cool. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Thank you for that recap about the Wizarding World, Ministry of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Time will tell. This
what
is
we know to date, all subject to change.
Could change.
Yes.
And you'll be right there on top of.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll report it for sure. They haven't released anything on the official Universal Epic Universe website, but once they do, we'll get to this, get more clarity about it
mm-hmm.
and see how they're doing it. So we'll see. Is it really as discombobulated as it sounds, or are they holding a lot of stuff close to their vest and not releasing it and just letting the fan universe go wild with it? Who knows? Maybe it's something monumental, but we're curious to know what you think about this. Make sure you get in touch with us because every opinion is welcome, and we're about to tell you how to do that in just a little bit. Well, y'all, we hope you enjoyed that discussion about the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic. Look, go to magicarwe.com. That is the blessed place to go. Blessed. It's the blessed place.
Oh, you know, blessed.
Amen. You'll find all our social meetings, past episodes, and more. Plus, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so through the following ways. Shoot us an email at show@magicarway.com or call or text us at 1-815 Mohegan. There's 1-815
Mohegan.
69426. We just made it.
Sorry, Kevin was being sacrilegious.
It's okay. Wow. Name of the Patria, amen. And of course, we have a couple people do things outside of the podcast. First of all, I got Eli does things with comics. examen.
It's like the Benedictine monks.
I know, I was going to say.
It is Lent.
Yes.
Oh, man. Thank you for that traumatizing moment. Reminded me of my high school days. Yes. I felt like I should get the little thing with the candles and the stuff it's and like swing that around.
Listening to Enigma
all day. Yeah. You want a robe? I got one for you. If you want, I can tell you how to order one from the Ivan Comics website. No, I don't sell robes.
And you get some Bobatons at, you know.
I get all that. Yeah. Well, I should have a new thing up there after listening to this called the Ministry of Merch.
He got the Bobatons, but then he took penicillin and he was fine.
It was good, though. Oh,
thank goodness. Know?
Thank you for health care.
All right, Ivan Comics, what you got?
Yeah, what I got, though, with that is ivancomics.com. All the work you could want, Project Geisha, Savage is About to Be Damned. The work is fully colored. It's basically 40 pages. The only ad for them is for the Magic Our Way podcast. And that's more than what the big two could give you and way more than what a little independent guy could give you. So, Molly Be Damned, Project Geisha, Savages, blog posts, interviews, linked to the Magic Our Way podcast. So
what a great name.
A beat. It is a great name. You know, that's how Synergy works. We just are so inclusive. So, when you support Magic Our Way, you support Ivory Comics, and we give it back to each other. That's a beautiful thing. So, Ivory Comics.
Amen.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All the blessedness. On the social media, Facebook.com, Eli H. Ivory, looking to meet you if you're a real person. Cannot meet you, demon bots. You're trying to come out there and be, oh, boy, I'm going to have Kevin come over
there. The power of Christ compels you.
That's right. Put some miracle over the internet there, Kevin. Please.
The bots start spinning heads.
They start spinning stuff around there. Yeah. That's right. You know,
scary.
Puking binary numbers is terrible. It's totally terrible.
Zeros and ones?
Yeah, a lot of ones.
That's it?
They color green, though. Yeah. Also on Facebook. You can check out the Project Geisha fan page. So, Facebook.com/Project Geisha. Instagram, ERV504 is where I post up the hearts and the likes and the agreements and disagreements. Although I will never post up no crazy tweets about that and all that stuff because there is no Twitter. There's only X. And on X, I can be found at Hancock10166. So, that's a lot.
That's and it's going to give it to you.
Got to give it to you.
No, it's what?
What?
Okay.
Very polite. Yes. So,
okay.
As always, you appreciate the madness. You're just bringing me the gladness. Thank you very much.
And if you want to book a vacation to Florida or wherever the Wizarding World is open, you can do it with Rachel. Rachel, tell me how to do this.
Yeah, I would be honored to help your travel group, family, group of friends, whoever you're going with, book your trip to any of the destinations that I work with. I really specialize in theme park vacations and cruises, but I also book major hotel brands around the world. So please reach out. Booking with me is at no additional cost to you. It's the same exact price as if you booked it on your own, but a piece of that amount that you pay for your vacation comes back to support this podcast and this fan community. And so if you're a listener, it's a win-win. And so you can reach me at Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, at magicourway.com. You can also call me. My number is 978-432-WISH. Just let me know that you're a listener to the podcast, and I'll make sure that that piece of your vacation comes back to this community. And you could also find me on social media. I'm at R Family Magic. That's the letter R and the words Family Magic on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And so whichever way works for you, you can call, text, email, message me, and I'm going to be excited to help your travel group make sure that you're fully prepared to get the most out of your vacation.
So if y'all want to access all the info we just mentioned, go to magicourway.com/about-us. Also, if you want to elevate your support of the Magic Our Way podcast, go to patreon.com/magicourway. There you'll find 6 awesome tiers to support this show. Any way in which you can support the show is deeply appreciated. The easiest way to support the show is, and it only costs a minute or so of your time, is to leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts and or wherever you access our show, whether it is YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever. And we want to thank you for being a loyal listener, and we always love hearing from our listeners. All opinions are always welcome on the Magic Our Way podcast, so make sure you get in touch with us today. So we say Quahirini. My name is Kevin.
And I'm Danny.
Magic out.
And you are. Bye!